Let's talk about the Kubernetes in the browser story, because it's one of those things that sounds absurd until you read the implementation details, and then it sounds clever. A developer at ngrok ported Kubernetes to run in a browser environment. The project scored 282 points and generated 83 comments.
The implementation uses WebAssembly to run a stripped-down Kubernetes control plane entirely client-side. The ngrok team's framing is that this enables demo environments, documentation, and learning tools that don't require any back-end infrastructure. Readers who remember the SQLite in the browser moment from a couple of years ago will recognize the pattern, taking something that seemed inherently server-side and making it viable client-side through WASM.
The HN discussion split between people who immediately saw the practical utility and people who pointed out the obvious limitation. Kubernetes without real node scheduling is a bit like a map of a city that doesn't have any streets. But I think that misses the point. The value isn't in running production workloads in the browser. It's in having an interactive, no-setup environment where you can demonstrate kubectl behaviors, explain RBAC configurations, or test Helm chart logic without asking a user to spin up a cluster. That has real pedagogical value.
There's also a business angle for ngrok specifically. They're a networking infrastructure company. A browser-based Kubernetes environment is a compelling top-of-funnel demo tool for their actual product. You show developers how local cluster traffic can be exposed via ngrok tunnels without them needing to stand up any infrastructure first. It's a well-designed product demo wrapped in an open-source contribution.
Google's Capybara tool hit the front page with 228 points and 43 comments. Capybara is a source code moving tool. It manages transformations and migrations between repositories. Google has been using it internally to sync code between their internal monorepo and external GitHub repositories. What makes this newsworthy in 2026 is less the tool itself. It's been open for a while, and more the renewed HN discussion about monorepo versus polyrepo strategies and the tooling gaps that exist in each model.
The context that makes Capybara particularly relevant right now is the growth of internal developer platforms and platform engineering teams. Organizations that grew quickly on microservices and ended up with 50 GitHub repositories for what should be one coherent system are now paying the coordination tax. Capybara represents one philosophy of handling that: you maintain source of truth in one place and propagate changes outward, rather than trying to keep a distributed system of repos synchronized through webhooks and pull request automation.
LeanStraw 1.5 from Mistral dropped as well, scoring 239 points with 86 comments. Mistral is positioning this as a small but capable model optimized for code and reasoning tasks with significantly reduced inference costs compared to their larger models. The Lean naming is deliberate. They're targeting the use case where you want Claude or GPT-level reasoning quality for a specific domain, but can't justify frontier model pricing at scale.
The competitive dynamics here are worth unpacking. The LLM market is bifurcating fairly clearly. At the frontier, you have Anthropic, OpenAI, and Google competing on capability maximums. But below that, there's a rapidly growing market for models that are good enough at specific tasks and cheap enough to run millions of inferences per day without prohibitive costs. Mistral, together with Meta's Llama family and a handful of others, is competing in that second tier. LeanStraw 1.5 looks like a deliberate move into the enterprise coding assistant market, where cost per token matters enormously at scale.
The Nano Banana 2 Lite entry, which is admittedly one of the more amusing project names to appear on HN this week, appears to be Google DeepMind's Gemini Image Flash Lite model. The branding confusion generated some genuinely funny comment thread speculation about whether the name was intentional obfuscation or just an internal code name that escaped. Whatever the naming story is, the underlying model targets image generation and editing at low latency and low cost, which is the multimodal equivalent of what Mistral is doing in text.
Pine64's Pine Voice speaker rounds out the hardware side of this segment. $50, RISC-V architecture, built for home assistant integration. For the home automation community, this is appealing because it's a locally running voice interface that doesn't phone home to Amazon or Google. At $50, it's genuinely competitive with Echo Dots, and RISC-V means the hardware architecture is open for inspection and modification. The HN comments were cautiously optimistic. Pine64 has a track record of shipping interesting hardware that requires patience during early firmware cycles.